Picture this. You're standing right in the middle of Times Square, but instead of giant billboards selling soda or Broadway shows, it's just this massive wall of digital content flashing at you from every possible direction.
Oh, that sounds exhausting.
Right. It's just an endless feed of TikToks, LinkedIn thought leadership threads, newsletters, and like AI-generated avatars practically screaming for your attention.
Yeah, completely overwhelming.
We are absolutely drowning in a sea of information right now. Yet somehow, if you really stop and look at how people are feeling today, we are, completely starving for a real, genuine conversation.
Well, I mean, that is the defining paradox of the modern internet, isn't it? We have way more communication infrastructure than at any point in human history, but actual human connection. That just feels rarer and honestly harder to capture than ever.
Which is exactly what we are tackling in this deep dive, because today we are decoding the modern art of digital conversation.
Yeah, we really need to figure out how you can sound authentic in this hyper-produced world.
Exactly. We're going to explore how to scale your ideas efficiently without, losing your soul, and how the latest tools are actually modeling human psychology to connect with people.
And we have a really fascinating stack of sources to guide us through this.
We really do. So what are we looking at today?
Well, we're pulling practical execution strategies from a couple of podcasting guides by Her First $100 and Voice 123. Then we are mixing in some conversational scripting techniques from Osha and voice coach Nick Redman.
Nice. Some real practical stuff.
Right. But then we are grounding all of that in a peer-reviewed academic review from the Journal of Positive School Psychology.
Oh, wow. Okay, pivoting to the academics.
Just a bit. And finally, we're going to look right under the hood of some cutting-edge AI content engines. Specifically, we're looking at CloudPresent, Wondercraft, and Dayclerk.
I cannot wait to get into this. It honestly feels like we are about to hand you the cheat codes for modern communication.
It really does.
Because whether you are prepping to launch your own massive brand, or you just want to run a team meeting where people actually listen to you, or you simply want to understand the hidden mechanics behind the media you consume every single day, this is for you.
Definitely. So let's unpack this, because before you can scale a conversation, you have to actually capture the raw energy of one.
Right, you need that foundation. And audio, specifically podcasting, seems to be the ultimate proving ground for that, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Audio just forces a level of intimacy you don't get with text, and the scale of it is staggering. Like, the guide from Her First $100K points out that there are currently 144 million podcast listeners out there.
Wait, 144 million? That is insane.
Yeah, half of all Americans over the age of 12 have listened to a podcast.
That is a massive audience actively looking to let someone right into their ears. And the barrier to entry is practically non-existent now.
Exactly. You don't need some multi-million-dollar studio anymore. The guide points out you really just need remote recording software like Riverside or even a free audio editor like Audacity and, a decent microphone.
But I guess while the technical barrier to entry is incredibly low, the barrier to actual connection is still incredibly high.
That is the whole problem. Anyone can hit record, right? But keeping someone listening is an entirely different skill set.
So how do you keep them listening?
Well, that brings us to the absolute foundation of digital connection, which is the script. Now, Voice 123 makes this really critical distinction early on. A lot of creators confuse a podcast outline with a podcast script.
Okay, what's the difference? Because they sound kind of the same.
Well, an outline gives you the guardrails. It's basically bullet points. You use it for an interview format or a panel discussion where you really want spontaneous back and forth, but you need to make sure you hit your main topics.
Well, gotcha. So this keeps you on track.
Yeah, right. But a script, on the other hand, is about total control. It's the exact wording, carefully chosen to dictate the pacing and the delivery.
So you'd use that for like narrative shows or educational stuff.
Exactly. You need a full script for highly produced narrative shows or solo educational pieces because without another person there to bounce off of, dead air or rambling will instantly kill the listener's momentum.
Yeah, nobody wants to listen to someone just trailing off for 5 minutes. And if
Yeah.
you're going the fully scripted route, Asha actually breaks down the required architecture for it.
Right, because it can't just be a wall of text.
No, not at all. You can't just read top to bottom. Asha says you need a structured intro that hooks the listener, a clear roadmap so their brain knows where the journey's going, and meticulously planned segues to transition between ideas.
And you have to fit sponsor messages in there too, right?
Yeah, integrated sponsor messages that don't disrupt the flow, plus a recap and an outro with one very specific call to action.
That structure is so vital. But what Asha highlights that's truly fascinating to me is the sheer mathematics of speaking.
The mathematics, what do you mean?
Well, we rarely think of casual conversation as a math problem, but it operates on very strict physiological rules, like the ideal conversational speaking pace, the speed at which a listener's brain can comfortably process complex information without getting bored or overwhelmed, is about 130 to 150 words per minute.
Oh, wow. 130 to 150. So if you were planning a 10-minute deep dive to explain a new concept to your audience, you were looking at roughly 1,500 words.
Exactly. And anything more than that, and you're suddenly speeding up your delivery just to cram it all in.
And Voice 123 backs up that math perfectly. They note that a quick, punchy 5-minute script needs to sit right between 650 and 750 words.
Right, because if you don't know your word count, you end up speed reading. And the moment you start speed reading, you stop sounding like a friend sharing a cool idea.
You start sounding like one of those pharmaceutical commercials reading the side effects at the end.
Yes, exactly. Which totally ruins the whole vibe. And that's exactly why writing for the ear is a completely different discipline than writing for the eye.
Because when we write essays, we are trained to use, like, super formal grammar.
Right, but voice coach Nick Redman has these brilliant golden rules for conversational scripting. She says you have to write exactly as you speak. Use contractions, use slang. She literally advises, don't be afraid of the LOLs.
Yeah, LOLs, like actually scripting a joke.
Yeah. If you make a joke in real life, script the joke. Because perfection sounds artificial. Normal human conversation is incredibly messy.
It really is. It's filled with varied sentence lengths, fragments, pauses to think, and casual filler phrases.
Exactly. If you write a perfectly grammatical, formal essay and try to read it aloud, your listener's brain instantly registers that it's being read to, not spoken with.
You know, I look at a good script kind of like drawing a map for a road trip.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, like you don't have to stare unblinkingly at the map the entire time you're driving. You can look at the scenery, you can relax into the drive. But having that map sitting right there on the dashboard keeps you from driving off a cliff into some rambling tangent that wastes everyone's time.
That captures the balance perfectly. The destination is non-negotiable, but the ride needs to feel breezy.
So how do we actually get that breezy delivery?
Well, Asha gives this piece of advice, which is practice, edit, practice. They suggest reading the script out loud repeatedly, recording yourself, and listening back to catch the clunky parts.
Okay, wait, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Oh, why is that?
Because if I practice a script 10 times and I'm listening to my own recordings over and over, aren't I just becoming an actor? Like, doesn't over-rehearsing kill the exact, raw, imperfect authenticity we're supposed to be building? I feel like I just sound like a robot reciting lines.
That is totally fair. And honestly, it is the most common trap for beginners. You practice so much, you sand off all the human edges. But Asha offers a brilliant, advanced technique to prevent that.
Okay, what's the secret?
You embed emotional markers directly into the text.
Meaning you are scripting the emotion, not just the information. Like stage directions in a play.
Essentially, yes. You type cues in brackets right into the text. You add pause for impact, or lean in closer to the mic, or drop your volume here.
Oh, that's clever.
Right. When you know this, you are mapping out the energy curve of the audio. The physiological response a listener has to a sudden 2-second pause is huge. They lean in, waiting for the resolution. By marking those moments, you force yourself to maintain the dynamic range of a real human experiencing a thought in real time.
So you're basically programming the vibe alongside the vocabulary. That makes total sense. Okay, let's say you've done the work. You've written this beautifully paced, emotionally mapped core piece of content. You hit your 150 words per minute, you recorded it, and you published it.
Awesome. But if we zoom out and look at the modern content ecosystem, starting entirely from scratch for your next project after putting in all that work is a massive waste of creative energy.
Oh, for sure.
Once you have captured a genuine conversation, the next step is scaling it. We're talking about the multiplier effect, or content repurposing, which we dive into with Cloud Present.
Right, because nobody has the time or the mental bandwidth to reinvent the wheel every single Tuesday. And the raw efficiency of this concept is wild.
It really is. What did Cloud Present find?
They note that repurposing content saves 60 to 80% of your creation time. And it can also boost your reach by 300%.
300%.
Yeah. They even cite the social media management company Buffer, which saw a 400% increase in reach just by systematically repurposing the research and content they already had sitting around.
I mean, that is the ultimate return on your creative investment right there. And the math behind this multiplier effect is incredibly practical. Cloud Present breaks it down like this. If you invest the time to write one highly researched 3,000-word blog post, you don't just hit publish and walk away.
No, you chop it up.
Exactly. That single asset can be broken down into 10 separate Instagram posts highlighting specific insights. It can become 5 distinct LinkedIn articles. It can fuel 15 short-form TikTok videos.
And it flows in both directions, right? Like if you write an ebook, you can chop that up into 8 to 12 standalone articles. Or if you shoot a massive hour-long video presentation, the transcript from that video can be cleaned up into a 2,500-word blog post.
You are literally squeezing every single drop of value out of the research phase.
But this is where the technology starts getting truly mind-bending. Because the source covering Wondercraft introduces us to their AI capabilities, which basically take this multiplier effect and automate the hardest parts of it.
Yeah, Wondercraft is incredible. With them, you can take a published article, paste the URL into their platform, and the AI just takes over.
Just from a URL?
Yep. It extracts the text, rewrites it from an essay format into a conversational script, clones your specific voice, and publishes a fully produced audio track complete with background music, all in minutes.
Voice cloning is wild to me, because it's not just pitching a robotic voice up or down anymore. The technology actually analyzes the prosody, you know, the rhythm, the micro pauses, the way you naturally take a breath, and replicates the human imperfections.
It's almost too good sometimes.
Right. But looking at this whole ecosystem, if Wondercraft is using AI to turn text into audio, and Cloud Present is telling us to use AI to turn video transcripts back into text, aren't we just building an infinite digital recycling plant?
Huh, an infinite recycling plant.
Yeah, like, are we just going to have AI algorithms chewing up the same pieces of content and spitting them back out in different formats until the end of time?
Okay, so if done lazily, yes, that is the dystopian version of this. But the strategic goal isn't to spam the internet with identical, thoughtless clones of your message. The goal is honoring how different people prefer to learn.
Oh, honoring the learner by changing the format.
By changing the format and adapting the tone. Context completely changes delivery. As Cloud Present points out, if you have a 1,300-character post going on LinkedIn, the tone needs to be thoughtful, professional, and structured for people in a business mindset.
Makes sense.
But if you take that exact same core insight to X or Twitter, you can't just copy and paste it. You have to rewrite it into a fast-paced, urgent thread. You are meeting people where they are, in the exact format their brain is primed to accept at that specific moment in their day.
So if I'm commuting, I have the mental space for the deep dive audio. But if I'm, like, standing in line for coffee, my brain only wants the punchy Twitter thread.
Exactly.
It's the same fundamental conversation, just adapted for the venue. And this idea of adapting the conversation to fit the venue isn't just for content creators anymore. It is completely rewiring how massive businesses interact with us on a daily basis.
Oh, 100%. Which brings a whole new layer to this discussion, because we are seeing a massive shift from traditional marketing to what the Journal of Positive School Psychology calls conversational marketing.
And to set the stage for this, the journal references a quote from the Kluwer-Train Manifesto. For some quick context, that was a highly influential set of essays written back in the early days of the web, basically predicting how the internet would change business.
Right.
And their core premise was so simple, they just said, markets are conversations. Now, that sounds a bit philosophical, but historically, it's totally literal.
Extremely literal. Just think about an ancient marketplace or a bazaar. Commerce was entirely based on human-to-human interaction, or HHI.
Right, you just walk up to a stall.
Yeah, you walked up to a merchant stall, you looked them in the eye, you haggled, you shook hands, and you made a deal. The entire process of buying and selling was conversational by default.
But as businesses scaled globally over the last century, we lost that intimacy. We moved into the era of computer-mediated communication, CMC.
Which is exactly.
This is where you're technically still interacting with a human, but it's filtered through screens.
Mm.
You submit an email ticket, or your data goes into a CRM, a customer relationship management software, where you essentially become just a row in a spreadsheet or a ticket number for a sales rep to call later.
Ah, yes. And that technological filter created the traditional, exhausting sales funnel.
Oh, we all know it too well.
Right. We've all been trapped in the 5-step funnel. You land on a website. You are forced to fill out a long, invasive form. Your data goes into that CRM. You receive an automated, generic email. And eventually, maybe a human calls you.
It is incredibly slow, high friction, and just full of points where the customer simply gives up and leaves.
Exactly. But the journal points out that we are now evolving past that into human-computer interaction, or HCI. We're using conversational agents to bypass the form entirely.
Yeah, they highlight the example of eBay's Google Assistant bot. You can literally just speak into your phone, say, okay, Google, let me talk to eBay, and begin searching for items using natural language.
It's so smooth. And this completely replaces that painful five-step funnel with a frictionless three-step chatbot funnel. Engagement, understanding, and recommendation.
So no more forms.
No forms. You don't fill out anything. The bot engages you directly, uses natural language processing to understand your specific criteria, and instantly recommends the product.
And the data shows people vastly prefer this. The journal highlights that 41% of customers are now actively using conversational marketing tools to make purchases.
That's a huge shift.
It is.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is a glaring paradox here when you take a step back. We are deploying the most highly advanced, complex artificial intelligence networks ever created just to simulate the simple, intuitive handshake of an ancient marketplace.
It really is the ultimate technological full circle. But, you know, a machine can only simulate that ancient handshake if it actually understands the psychology behind the hesitation.
What do you mean?
Well, think about it. An ancient merchant could look at your face, see your eyes dart away, realize you thought the price was too high, and instantly adjust their pitch. A digital chatbot or a landing page cannot see your face.
Right.
So to know when to push and when to back off, the AI has to mathematically model your behavior instead.
Which brings us to the final piece of the puzzle. Dayclerk. Dayclerk is an AI tool built entirely around modeling human behavior before a page even goes live.
Right. It doesn't just generate generic marketing copy.
No, it attempts to predict the psychology of the click. Dayclerk operates on the premise that it's completely useless to just spin up a landing page if you don't know why someone is going to engage with it in the first place.
And they have an interesting setup, right? During their beta phase, they offer businesses a free marketing landing page for a year.
Yep.
But the actual magic is the simulation it runs behind the scenes. The AI predicts how your specific audience will think, feel, and act when they see your campaign. And it bases that on deeply established behavioral science.
Yeah. The source details four specific behavioral principles that Dayclerk uses to justify how it builds a page. And we really need to dig into these because they govern almost every decision we make online.
Okay, let's go through them. What's the first one?
The first is social proof.
Ah, yes. Social proof taps into our evolutionary herd mentality. It's the idea that people will hesitate to take an action if they feel like they are the first ones taking the risk.
Like nobody wants to be the guinea pig.
Exactly. If your page isn't clearly showing that hundreds of others have already safely bought in and survived the experience, the primitive part of the brain signals danger and you lose them.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
The second principle is loss aversion. This is the psychological reality that the pain of losing something is actually a significantly stronger motivator than the joy of gaining something of equal value.
Right. Like losing a $10 bill hurts more than finding a $10 bill feels good.
Exactly. That's why limited time offers or language highlighting what you stand to lose by not acting are so highly effective.
Okay, then you have cognitive load. This relates to the mental RAM or processing power required to navigate a situation.
Oh, this one is huge.
It really is. If a visitor lands on your page and is hit with a giant wall of dense text or 12 different navigation choices, their brain instantly gets overwhelmed. The mental cost of figuring out what you want them to do exceeds their desire to actually do it, so they simply close the tab.
They just bounce.
Yeah.
And the fourth principle is scarcity. When the availability of a resource feels limited, whether it's a physical product or like a seat in a webinar, the perceived value of that resource skyrockets because of FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Right. Classic scarcity. But what makes Dayclerk so unique is how it applies these concepts through its activation guide.
How so?
Well, it doesn't just give you generic advice like make the buy button red. Mm. It gives you segment-specific data.
Oh, interesting. Give me an example.
So, for instance, if you are selling B2B, meaning business to business, selling software to a corporate buyer rather than a t-shirt to a teenager, the AI knows that a B2B audience segment is highly risk-averse.
Naturally.
It will tell you that this specific demographic will absolutely not click unless they see visible social proof placed right next to the call to action button.
And they built in a feature called Ask Clerk CY, which I find fascinating because it breaks the black box of AI.
Yeah, that is super rare. Usually a tool spits out a design and you just have to trust the algorithm.
Right. But if Dayclerk makes a change, You can click to ask why, and it provides a real-world citation for its behavioral science choices.
And that transparency is critical here. When the AI says, "I removed this block of text to lower the cognitive load," it actually links you to the academic research on cognitive load. You, the human, can read it and decide if the logic holds up.
Let's pause and look at the ethics of this for a second, though.
Yeah.
Because if an AI is systematically mapping out exactly how to trigger my loss aversion, or manipulating my cognitive load to subtly force me down a funnel to click a button, where is the line?
That's a very valid concern.
Right. Doesn't this cross from being a helpful digital conversation into straight-up psychological manipulation?
Well, that is the exact tension the source addresses. Dayclerk's ideal use case is not for tricking consumers into impulse buying cheap consumer goods they don't really need.
Okay.
The platform is specifically designed for businesses offering complex solutions where the customer requires a high degree of education and trust before they are willing to buy.
Like high-end consulting services or complex software platforms that take months to integrate.
Yes, exactly. In those high-stakes scenarios, the goal of modeling behavior isn't manipulation, it is the removal of friction.
Helping them understand, basically.
Right. If a potential client wants your service but is confused by a convoluted pricing structure, that is a cognitive load issue. Simplifying it so their brain can process it isn't tricking them, it's helping them understand what they are buying. And because the AI cites its sources, accountability remains squarely on the human marketer. You evaluate the AI's reasoning. You don't just blindly follow it.
Okay, that makes me feel a bit better about it.
Mm.
So, zooming all the way out, what does this massive stack of sources mean for you, the listener? Whether you are literally sitting at your desk outlining your very first podcast, or trying to figure out how to stretch a single presentation into a month's worth of social content, or navigating a digital world increasingly run by chatbots, the overarching theme is incredibly clear.
It really all comes down to intent and structure. You have to structure your thoughts conversationally, remember the physiological math, aim for that 130 to 150 words per minute pacing.
And embed those emotional markers to keep your humanity intact.
Yes, you absolutely should leverage smart AI tools to multiply your ideas and save time. But through it all, you have to root your communication in genuine human psychology. You have to respect the cognitive load of the person on the other side of the screen.
You have to remember that even if you are using a vast network of software to deliver the message, there is a living, breathing human being receiving it. Which, honestly, leaves us with a final lingering thought to mull over today.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we have seen today that AI tools can perfectly mimic our conversational quirks. They can map the energy curve of our scripts. They can literally clone the breath and prosody of our voices. They can flawlessly predict our psychological friction points.
Yeah, they're learning to simulate that ancient eye-to-eye bizarre handshake with terrifying accuracy.
So if the machines can eventually perfectly replicate all the mechanical markers of human connection, what will become the ultimate irreplaceable currency of human-to-human trust in the future? When every digital billboard in Times Square sounds exactly like your best friend, how will you know who is actually speaking?
Wow. That is going to be the defining question of the next decade.
Thanks for diving deep with us. Keep questioning the conversation.